Welcome back to another episode of Turning the Table. My name is Adam Lamb from Chef Life Coaching, and I'm here with my co-host, Jim Taylor of Benchmark 60. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, how are you?
It's so great to be with you again. And we have a topic today that is near and dear to our hearts. And we also have a specialist waiting in the wings who's really been diving deep into this particular subject. And we're really happy to have Scott Turner, the CEO of Auden Hospitality. He's no stranger to this show, nor to this particular topic. So I just wanted to ask, how's your hiring plan going? Is it working for you? Are you attracting the right staff? And if you're attracting the right staff, do you actually have a critical path for actually hiring them and bringing them on board? It seems like lots of folks are applying in different places. And, you know, if you're not acting fast, sometimes they're already gone. And so what's a step that you can actually be taking in your operation to not only attract to the right staff, but to hire them? And then what are we doing about retaining them? So we're going to be talking about impactful training, what the data is showing us about this generation of workers. And it's a topic, as I said, that is near and dear to our hearts, because of course, we've been saying on this show for over a year, that retention is the new cool. And we'll get into that and a lot more right after these messages. Welcome to Turning the Table, the most progressive weekly podcast for today's food and beverage industry, featuring staff-centric operating solutions for restaurants in the hashtag new hospitality culture. Join Jim Taylor of Benchmark 60 and Adam Lamb as they turn the tables on the prevailing operating assumptions of running a restaurant in favor of innovative solutions to our industry's most persistent challenges. Thanks for joining us. And now, on to the show. This episode is made possible by eVocalize. eVocalize makes complex local digital marketing push-button easy for anyone. Empower your franchises with programs that automatically optimize performance and program spending across Google, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, all from one easy-to-use collaborative marketing platform. To find out more, go to turningthetablepodcast.com/eVocalize. And Jim, we've already gotten some action in the chat, so we want to welcome Andrew Jones.
Hey,
who's saying good afternoon. And of course, at this point, we'd like to bring in a very good friend of ours, Scott Turner, the principal of Auden Hospitality, coming to us from England, where apparently you're having some English sunshine outside, which is actually rain.
Definitely. Yeah, we definitely.
Welcome back, Scott.
Thank you. I think this is my hat trick, right? So yeah, really pleased to be here again.
So, you know, not everybody gets to be on the show three times.
No, I'll wait for my golden disc coming through the post, right?
Yeah.
Well,
it's good to have you back.
There's lots to dive into. And of course, there's three particular portions to this whole idea of having the right staff, having a killer crew that really not only makes you shine, but it's also what we've come to understand is an incredibly symbiotic relationship. There's stuff that as we show up, so do they. And so I wanted to get into a couple of these topics. And the first one is attracting the right staff. And a great shout out to Karen, who's coming to us from Abu Dhabi.
I'm Karen.
Now, I think that's where you do some work as well, don't you, in the Middle East, Scott?
Yeah. I used to run a venue there for 5 years, actually. And I spoke to Karen a couple of times. I used to live in Dubai, so not too far away. Mm. So yeah, great memories.
Fantastic. So, as a matter of fact, you were on a show a little earlier today with Chris Hall, our good friend from the Burnt Chef Project, and you guys were talking about this. And after the initial blush of the show, what kind of thoughts remained with you after that we might bring up here that maybe you didn't get to or hoped to highlight even more during that particular broadcast?
Yeah, it was funny. I mean, we touched on a couple of different subjects around this, and it's a really interesting topic because I think, you know, we were speaking off air there. Mm-hmm. It's such an emotive subject that everyone knows we need to do something about. And, you know, some people are good talking about it. Some people are acting on it. Other people need to find the time to be able to do it. But, you know, I said something earlier that I've never said before, but actually, when I was in the flow of doing it and reflected on it after, I thought, you know, actually what an amazing period to be in. And that was, I don't think we've ever been in such a time where it's so exciting in terms of the workforce that's coming through as it is right now, because the workforce that's coming through right now have probably never been so creative as they are today. And that gives us a huge opportunity from an industry perspective to really start going into the next level of what this industry can become in terms of people embracing tech, embracing different values, being more creative. And I think, you know, everything, sometimes you can find yourself talking about this subject and you can start getting focused on the negatives too often. And I think it's worthwhile just celebrating that for a minute, that we're in an amazing period now, that that if people can capitalize on it, we're going to start seeing some special stuff coming through, I think. So that was one of my key takeaways from today.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, we've talked about this on this show and in a couple other platforms that, you know, there's, I truly believe that Gen Z is going to be the best thing that ever happened to the hospitality industry. Right. Yeah. And like you said, creativity is a big part of that. The other part is they just have options. So if we're not the best option, they're going to go somewhere else. Right. So I think it's just forcing our industry to just be creative and look at things differently. I agree completely.
Yeah.
There's never been such a focus on it being an employee's market before, has there? It's always, and, you know, Joe, I think I was listening to a podcast you were on today and you were talking about how we've kind of papered over the cracks for years because there's been this churn of people coming through, and all of a sudden that band-aid's been ripped off and we're starting to see people fall through the cracks, whether that's businesses or whether that's people. And it's, you know, the people who come to work for us have never had so much choice, potentially so much power and so many opinions in terms of what is right and what is wrong. And I think that is, again, you know, I've shared stories before of when I came back from the Middle East to the UK and I saw such a change in the workforce that it did take me time to adapt and it did take me time to understand what was different. But we have to be clear about it, that the new generation have got a much bigger voice than we ever did. They are much more vocal about what they want and what they expect from people. And we are the people who have to change, because they are not going to do that. So I would encourage anyone listening to the show that's a leader right now finding it difficult to keep people, we need to start looking at retention as a key strategy, because it's not going to go away.
Yeah. There's an interesting stat that kind of keeps popping into my mind every time I get into this conversation. And that is that at least in a lot of the North American markets, I'm sure the UK is not that much different. 80% of the people applying for restaurant jobs right now have never worked in the industry before. So the first thing that, you know, whenever I talk about that with somebody, that I can, you know, and Scott, you just were nodding, going like, okay, that's, you know, that's interesting. And I think the first part of that stat that people latch onto is this 80% piece. They go, oh my gosh, everybody's brand new, right? And they worry about the lack of experience or the how much they're going to have to train people, or, you know, what industry are they coming from, all of that kind of thing. But the other side of it is also, I think, equally interesting for our industry from a, you know, making sure that there's a reminder that we do need to change and evolve. Because what that's also telling us is that only 20% of the people working in hospitality are crazy enough to try and get it. The rest of them are going, I'm out. Like, this is, right. You know, it's not for me anymore. So that's the one I jump on to. It's okay. If only 20% of people are actually, you know, willing to try again, for lack of a better way to put it, then that means we have to find a better way to hire, train, and retain those people.
Yeah. And I just want to kind of jump on that as well, because I remember the Burnt Chef Project did a survey towards the end of the pandemic shutdown. So, you know, the industry lost 6 million jobs, et cetera, et cetera. But the interesting part of this survey was that I think 60 or 70% of the people who left the industry planned on coming back within, I think, a year and a half or 2 years. So we're right at that limit where, you know, folks are looking to see, you know, what changes we've made. You know, I call this the great reset. What a great opportunity for us to like think of different ways. And to your point, Scott, you know, really listen to our potential staff members, because they're telling us what they're looking for. And woe be to us if we're going to be complacent enough to say, well, no. I want it to return to the way it was before, because it's never going to get that way. So I just wanted to highlight the first part of this, which is how to attract the right staff. And our friend Jensen Cummings loves to say that, you know, every hospitality company, restaurant, hotel, chef, catering company is a food service company and also a media company. And the quicker they get on that and understand that part of their business is to own their narrative, which means, you know, taking this out, you know, and using that and creating fun little short form videos and posting them in the places and on the platforms where your potential associates might be. And that might be TikTok, where a large portion of that younger crowd is. But and also just showing, you know, sure, there's some gravitas to what we do, and some of us take it a little bit more seriously than others. But, you know, it's also fun. It can be fun. And to be able to illustrate that in little short form videos. And as I like to say to my chef friends, stop posting static pictures of food, man. Nobody gets that except other chefs. So, you know, whether it's, you know, food porn or whatever, but you're talking within the bubble and you're not necessarily going outside of that to engage them where they're at. And I think that's probably another piece, Scott, to your point, you know, we got to be where they're at. We can't just ignore them and expect them to come up to our level. And that's what, right before we went live, we were having a conversation about short form video training, which to me is like one of the most exciting things out there. Because to be honest, as an operator, that's one piece I would really like to offload. Because there's just so much that capitalizes on our time. So speak to that, wouldn't you? Because I think that probably goes towards maintaining and retaining great staff, right? Are they being trained properly? Do they have a clear career trajectory through the organization? Things of that sort. So can you speak to that for a bit?
Yeah, 100%. The subject we were talking about before, I'm working with a SaaS startup company based out of the UK, and they got in contact with me when they were just in idea phase and said, you know, we want to speak to people in the hospitality industry. We think we're onto something, but we're not quite sure how it'll be embraced. And I went and spoke to these guys, Jonah and Jules, and I saw what they had and I listened to what they said. And instantly I said to them, let me work with you, because this has the opportunity to change how we train people in the industry. And it's a system called Blend. And what it is it's video first, short form training content that an employee can create a training session in about 2 to 3 minutes if they've already got the video there. It's as easy as posting on TikTok, Instagram, and all the rest of it. What got me intrigued by the whole thing was a couple of things. First of all, they were talking about how the generation today, even us, the other generation, but how we consume content today is in short form content, whether that's written, whether that's pictures, whether that's video, but it's starting to lend more towards video now. And what they were talking about was how because we're also used to consuming content in short form, our concentration levels don't extend into long form as much. So if you're going into a business and you're on the way into work and you're consuming everything in short form and you're watching videos, you're scrolling through reels, etc., and then you walk into your first day's training in a new job and you sit there and the training manager's there and she gets all hyped up, but she brings up the PowerPoint that has one of 43 slides, your team will switch off because that to them is the idea of, you know, help. Whereas if you are in there and it's short, it's buzzy, it's small, it's short, impactful sessions, it's much likely to stick with them because they'll feel more engaged and their brains are used to going 2 minutes impact, stop, 2 minutes impact, stop, scroll, scroll, scroll. It's a bit like when you're working out, right? Doing a four minute sprint is as good as doing a 20 minute run. It's that type of scenario. So that was the first piece that like really got me intrigued in this in terms of going, do you know what? We need to bring these people into our circles when we're deciding what the strategy is around how we communicate to our people, because they're the people who know how to be engaged their way. So that was the first piece. And then the second piece in that was, you know, we're always looking now as a business because of increasing costs to look at where efficiencies can be. And what's the first thing that goes in those businesses? Often it's training. So the whole platform was around, you know, if I can take a video in a restaurant of food, but when the food comes to my table and I can put it on Instagram within 2 minutes, why can someone not do that when it comes to training? So instead of you needing to pay for the videographer to do a video of the chef making the dish, to then get the edits back, and 4 weeks later you might have the menu there, and you lose all the agility around how we need to run restaurants at the minute. Why can't we do that in real time and be really authentic around how we put it together? It doesn't need to be neat. It doesn't need to be tidy. It's a training video. It needs to show real life. It mm-hmm. needs to be genuine. It needs to be authentic. And if we can do that on an iPhone or an Android or whatever format people are using, and we can get that uploaded as a module, as a training module, in 2 to 3 minutes, how powerful is that from a training perspective, that you could have a full menu done in an afternoon that your team can then be actively trained on that night? It's super powerful. And, as soon as I saw this and heard the pitch and heard what it was all about, I had to work with them, because I just think I've seen it in practice, it is looking really strong. But I just think there's an opportunity where anyone can embrace that type of format with a system or not, and just introduce that into the business, right? We all have WhatsApp groups, we all have, training platforms. How can we start taking those PowerPoints away, putting video in there? And then, what are the new workforce wanting from people? They want they want people to be genuine. They want authenticity. Hashtag no filter. So actually not making things look pretty, not making things look too precise and everything, actually sits with them far greater than going out, getting a videographer done and touch-ups and all the rest of it. So I think there's a huge potential to really look at things differently when it comes to how we train our people. And it's back to that, how do we attract people properly? Mm. Again, let's start talking to them, as Adam said, on TikTok and short form. And why does your customer guest message have to be different from your employee message? Mm. It doesn't have to be. It's about, the same values stick for everyone. So I think
exactly.
It's how do you talk to everyone on the same message that keeps the brand kind of conducive to what it is, and starts really, talking in the same way. And I think, that's key. Another subject I brought up this morning actually is that, I'm not sure we do a great job sometimes in the industry of showing how good we can be. I think we're a bit understated. We're like a Brit. We're understated. We don't stand up and shout from the rooftops and say what we can do for people. And sometimes I think we can be a bit selfish in going, we're going to teach you how to serve plates and do silver service in the old days and this type of thing. Actually, think of the soft skills that you learn in hospitality. Mm-hmm. Even if you come and do a 2-year stint while you're in university and you're a transient employee, think of the skills that you leave with. And I don't think we do enough of shouting about that. I don't think we do enough of sharing that with people when they're in the industry to then keep them engaged until when they leave, because all those soft skills that you pick up, that I've certainly picked up from being in the industry, I wouldn't have got them if I hadn't worked in hotels, restaurants, etc. So I think, from an attraction purpose, I think we should stop being so selfish about are we great running restaurants, and I think we should start talking more about we can teach you how to deal with pressure, we can teach you how to budget, how to finance, how to yield. If I'm running a book in a restaurant, I'm learning how to yield inventory. That can go into so many different careers, but we don't swap them from restaurant into others to show people that they're actually learning different skills. So I think, there's a huge piece around sharing how great we are as an industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, couldn't agree more. There's a comment you made a couple minutes ago there, Scott, about one of the first things to get cut is training. And interesting, just, when you think about that from a big picture business perspective and finance, and it's all, everybody who's running a restaurant is in one way or another trying to probably make some money, right? I mean, they're probably not doing it for charity. I was talking with DJ, who is the host of the podcast for Seven Shifts, the other day. Great guy. And he does some awesome content for them. And we were talking about a survey that they had done that they pulled, a few thousand, and DJ, if you see or hear this, I apologize if I butcher the number, but they pulled let's say, thousands of restaurant operators in North America on what the biggest challenges were that they were facing right now. Mm-hmm. And inflation was number three, I believe. But the first two were retention was the thing that they found was the hardest thing to deal with in the industry right now. And the second thing was their labor cost management. And so we were having this discussion about, well, if you improve the training, which would improve the retention potentially, your labor cost would come down because the cost of turnover is so high. Right. So it was interesting to see that those were number one and number two, and just that the discussion around how connected those things are.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you've seen the same, Jim, in operations that you've run. The best operations I run were the most consistent ones. Consistent, right. from a people perspective, the teams who stuck around the longest, and they were the ones who fundamentally delivered better, sure, results, because they could be more, yeah, efficient, they were more passionate, mm-hmm, they were more engaged.
It was interesting, just the way that discussion went, and maybe we can touch on this a little bit. I'd love to hear your take on it, Adam, you too. But so retention is the number one challenge they're facing. Labor cost management is number two. But like you just said, so often the approach is we need to be profitable. So they actually address the number two problem before the number one problem. Mm. They go cut harder, lower your labor cost, and the manager is left with, what do I do? Where's the easy fat to trim? Just cut training, which then compounds the number one problem, which is retention, right? Do you understand what I'm, you agree with what I'm saying? I'm curious your take on that, because, and Adam in the back of us too, from a chef's perspective, there's so much to unpack there, I think.
Well, the first thing that runs to my mind is, you know, again, if this is the Great Reset, then from a financial standpoint, we have to throw the old model out. Whereas, you know, there might be a little bit of money in there for pre-opening training. But after that, training is basically, you're supposed to like bundle that up with the hours that you already have allotted and the money that you already have to spend for operational labor, yet very little is set aside. Like, okay, here's $2,000 a month for training, which might mean getting everybody together around a table and learning how to break down a whole swordfish or something along that lines, right? Because now, Scott, to your point, you're assisting them in building skills that are going to last them the rest of their lives. And that is an incredibly important thing and something I don't think we think a lot about. As a matter of fact, I was having a conversation with Greg Gorgone from the Pineapple Academy, which is kind of a similar thing. They have these short form videos and you can actually upload your own as well to create this blended environment. Everything from how to turn a fryer on to how to, you know, clean out a sink or whatever. But the thing is, you know, I said, so you have all these hard skills. Like, what about the soft skills? Like, there's something to be said about teaching somebody how to, you know, manage a table, how to tour somebody through the menu, how to really invest in what it's like to be a hospitarian, because somewhere along the line, it just became a transaction in a lot of operations. And it's like, okay, what do you want? And let's go. Now, mm-hmm, you know, I go to a diner and that's the way that I order, because first thing in the morning, you know, I'm not really looking for a menu tour, but that hospitality piece is so important. And I just want to kind of highlight this one, which Karen threw a very, very poignant point into the chat, which is, agree, the industry does not promote itself well nor effectively to any generation, not just the younger crowd. And I thought this was pretty sage, because she says many early retirees are looking for part-time temporary jobs and overlooked due to age. So this idea of ageism existing and we can only bring in young staff is probably missing the boat, because there's a huge workforce out there that would love to be engaged, who love to be in relationship, who are great at the table side. So I know that there's a couple things in there, but if we're not budgeting for training, then we're just doing everybody a disservice.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
And Karen also adds, again, the industry focuses on training, the essential, yet neglects personal and professional development, an essential ingredient to engage and retain employees. And I don't know about you guys, but my dad didn't teach me about finances. My very first credit card I got at 18 was a Montgomery Ward credit card back in the day when there was Montgomery Ward. That's probably dating myself. And they had a gas station. So that's what I used. But I busted it out within 18 months. I'm like, what do you mean I have to pay this back? What do you mean there's actually more money? So to your point, Scott, like teaching people on how to actually budget and use their money, some of the technology out there where you can access a portion of your earned pay already by using this particular card is a great way to start have a conversation, because the fact is that we're not just hiring hands. We're actually hiring a whole human being. And so to the effect that they can be successful in their personal life, they also get to bring that in and become successful within the operation. So,
yeah, and I think that's going to be probably one of the biggest shifts. I think it's one of the biggest shifts I'm seeing in operations right now, that the teams are willing to learn about wine. Mm. They're willing to learn about the hard skills, but they're also asking employers, like, what is in it for me? And when they mean that, they mean, what other courses can you give me that can help me? Whether that is, you know, digital marketing, whether that is well-being, whether that's mental health, whether that's, back to your point, financial training. And, you know, they want these soft skills as much as and they're willing to do the other bit, but they want that as well. And I think that's where now we have to do that. And if we're sitting down and having meaningful conversations and connections with our teams, and we're saying to them, you know, what do you want? What how can we help you? And you've got a student there who's training for, I don't know, a marketing course, and she says, I want to learn more about digital marketing. If we want to keep that person there for all of the duration of her studies, we need to help her deliver that. Does she look after the social media accounts? Does she look after Insta stories? Does she go and spend some time with the marketing guys? So I think we have to be a little less worried about the fact that people might leave, and be a little bit more interested in what they want. Because if we keep them for that duration, it's ultimately going to be better from a retention perspective and all the rest of it. I think it's a huge thing that's changing a little bit there as well. And, you know, I think it's a really good point from that perspective to kind of bring that up.
Yeah. Well, it's like that. What's the quote? You know, what happens if I train my people and they leave? Well, what happens if you don't train them and they stay? You know, it's kind of like there's this risk of like, I'm going to give away all these trade secrets and then they're going to go work for the competitor. Well, but what if you don't teach them all those valuable skills and then they stick around?
Right.
Yeah.
And become an albatross around the neck of the operation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. 100%. You're making them better people for your business. You give them financial skills. They become better people for your business. If you teach them how to look after themselves and well-being and all the rest, they're going to become better for the business. Like, if you have financial problems because you can't manage your finances at home, you're not going to concentrate on your guests because you're going to be too worried about the next bill you have to pay, etc. So it's about, ultimately it benefits the business in an indirect way, but it's showing your people that you care. And you know, that came up a lot in the conversation we had earlier, is how do you show people you care? Because that makes a huge difference to how people think. You know, salary's great, et cetera, et cetera. And it's funny, I was speaking to a hotel GM literally about half an hour ago, and he's just gone back to the property he's working in now after 3 years. I said, how come you've gone back? And he turned around and said, you know what, here they look after people so well. And in 3 years, I've come back, and there's about 60% of the people who were here before still here now, because they just look after them so well. Understand, you know, there's lots of parents, and they give them the time, they use the soft area for the kids, etc., etc. And it's, you know, it's sometimes it's those little bits that people are driven by. It's not the old money and what have you. You know, we talked about, you brought up Jensen Cummins earlier, and I shared this example on the call this morning, but I saw him do a post a few weeks ago about how he was getting, I think it was 75 no-shows for interviews. And next day, he went on video, sent everyone a WhatsApp message beforehand saying, looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. This is how you get here, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And very personal, direct. And I think he got, 80 people showed up the next day. I tried that with an operator last week. Or was it this week? This week. And we've been getting zero. We've been getting no one turning up. I tried it this week. 52% of people turned up. That's from zero to 52. And the F&B manager literally got on a WhatsApp and said, it's in a hotel. Got on the WhatsApp. This is the nearest tube. When you get to the lobby, be a bit intimidating, but go upstairs, speak to the hostess. I'll be along. I know you're coming. So even if I'm a bit late because I'm caught up, don't worry, I'll be there. 52% of people turned up. So it just goes to show that by having that little bit of effort, that little bit of care, makes such a difference to people. And
that's amazing.
It's a great example.
I am so glad that you brought that example up, because based on that same conversation, because I heard the same thing, there's a software marketplace online called AppSumo, APPSUMO. And I was just cruising there looking for some software for myself, because I'm tired of paying subscriptions. And these are like very often one payment lifetime deals. And they actually have a video platform for hiring and vetting associates that works exactly the same way for $49, man. $49, you put that in. And now all of a sudden there's a direct pipeline and people are seeing your face and they get to know that, you know, you care and that you're, that they're safe, right? The safety and the care is like one of the two biggest, highest things. And I was thinking about, you know, the retention piece when you were talking about, and Jim, I know we talked about this on the show before, but there's an operator that basically went to the craft store and got a big piece of a whiteboard and posted it in the kitchen. And he created basically a personal development scorecard for his associates. So I want to go to school. Okay, what are the steps in that? And, or I want to write a book. And he would post that up and they would celebrate those wins with the associates in front of everybody. Like it doesn't have anything to do with work. I mean, you might say that, but anytime you're building a skill, that's going to show up everywhere. But now you're showing that you care enough about them in their personal lives to see them win. And, you know, very often there may be some wisdom that you have that you can share with them as to facilitate that journey. And now all of a sudden you're not necessarily a leader anymore, but you're a mentor because now you care about them in a personal way. And I think that there's some technology out that's fantastic and there's a cost associated. Yet if we're really asking our associates what they're actually looking for, very often those are dimes to the dollar or pennies to the quid or whatever you want to call it. And it takes a little bit of creativity, but you know, we've got this great thing called Google and YouTube, which is the second largest search engine in the world. There's somebody probably modeling something like that. It just takes the time to actually look.
Yeah. For it. Well, and Anthony Galletta, we've had him on the show, president of Bar Taco, they're doing some really cool stuff around that, exactly what you're saying. And him and I had an interesting discussion partly on the episode and since then too, about so many companies are focused from a retention perspective on people's lives outside of work, right? Let's add benefits, unlimited vacation, you know, 401k matching in the US or, you know, RSP in Canada or whatever it's called, UK, you know, savings matching type stuff, or, you know, pet insurance or whatever it might be. They're adding all these benefits to try to improve the life portion of work-life balance. But so many companies are missing the opportunity to improve the work part of work-life balance. And, you know, Anthony made a comment and we were talking about that it's all of that stuff outside work is for nothing if the second you come back to work and you're overwhelmed or stressed out. Right? So we've been having a lot of discussion lately and the stuff that the work that they're doing to basically recreate the entire management and employee experience is doing some really cool things for them from a retention perspective. But they're looking at lifestyle and workload and stress management and, you know, all these different, the whole service model is changing. So there are some really good companies, like you said, Adam, whether it's on YouTube or LinkedIn or wherever you find them, that are doing some really good stuff around that.
And if anybody ever needed any ideas, you know, Scott Turner's details are in the chat and I'll make sure that they're posted in there and the link to Auden Hospitality. Certainly Jim from Benchmark 60, I mean, you focus exclusively on this whole workload management, like in such a unique way that like, okay, so we're not being reactive, we're actually being proactive. And that works to the point of, like, again, staff feel like they're cared for, that they're more than just a pair of hands or a strong back, that there's somebody that's actually looking out for them and their welfare. That goes a long way. Scott, to your point, like, that's why people come back. I mean, you go to university for a year and you come back and you're in the summertime and you go right back to these. A lot of folks go right back to their old employers because they know that they're going to be valued and cared for.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, two things that you can implement in your business tomorrow that is absolutely free and I will guarantee will improve the way your people look at you. And I'll guarantee that it's in your sequence of service for your guests, and that is say hello and say goodbye. Seems so simple, but I will guarantee your people will look at you differently if everyone gets greeted in on the way in and everyone says goodbye on the way out. And I think, you know, sometimes we get, especially at the minute with tech and things, we get all caught up, don't we, in how can we buy things or how can we give them benefits, pensions, et cetera, and don't forget the simple things, because sometimes the simple things can be just as impactful. And I think it's huge, isn't it? And it doesn't cost anything as well. You know, great staff food, it doesn't cost anything. So all those type of things are big and can have a big impact and can make a difference on what your people think and how they feel valued as well. Some of the best people we've all worked for are the ones who knew your name when you were lower down the ranks and you couldn't believe they remembered what you were called. And I think I shared this on the last time I was on. You know, I still remember now the GM I had when I was 19 years old, who at 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock went around the whole hotel and said hello to every single person. And I still remember him now at X amount of years on. And, you know, it's, don't forget the simple stuff.
Yeah, the example I have like that is, and I share this one, it's still try to, you know, emulate this as much as possible. An executive that I worked for a long time, he's been a mentor of mine for years. He used to come into the restaurant. I mean, he worked at head office, right? Executive vice president of a massive restaurant group. He would come into the restaurant at about 6, 7 o'clock every single Friday PM. So 7 o'clock PM on the Friday, and he's a 9 to 5 scheduled type guy, right? And he would walk around the restaurant, and he would say hello to customers, and he would say hello to every staff member. And finally, one day I was like, listen, like, funny enough, his name is also Jim. But I said, Jim, like, what are you doing? Like, is your family not wondering where you are? You should be home for dinner kind of thing right now. And I'll never forget his response. He goes, if you think for a second that that office that I sit in all day is what this is all about, like, you're crazy. He goes, the people that are in here right now, the customers and the staff, are the reason we're in this business.
Right.
So he goes, your aspiration shouldn't be to go sit in an office all day. Your aspiration should be to take better care of your employees and your customer, because that's why we're here. And I was like, like deer headlights going, oh, well, I'm going to just shut up now kind of thing. Right. But I've never forgotten that. You know, it's just such a good reminder.
And I just wanted to quickly shout out to Tucker Bascom, who's watching us on Facebook. So, hey, Tucker, so glad you could join us today. Another guy who's, you know, using a particular piece of technology called 7Taps, which is all about micro learning, these little cards. So he's doing that for his own business, and there's no reason why, you know, we couldn't be doing it ours. I just wanted to make one other quick point about the whole idea of attraction. So as a podcaster, you go through a couple exercises in order to make sure that you're speaking to the right person, that you have the right audience, et cetera. And very often that means that you have to create an avatar of your specific audience member. And we have avatars for every single one of our podcasts, you know, including a picture and a short form, like a little paragraph about where they're at in their life. And I know that some companies employ hiring profiles, but hiring profiles are very often around skill sets instead of the whole person. So an interesting exercise would be to create an avatar for each one of your positions. And to me, the best leaders, the best mentors were the ones who came in and, you know, sure, they go and talk to all the line staff, but they make a particular point of like going into the prep area or the dish area, and not just like across the dish pit window, but actually going in there into their work environments to take time to shake their hand and say, what's up? Because to the point, you know, they're our most valuable associates, because we can pick up a lot of slack, but I don't know about you, man, but I don't want to get stuck in the dish pit on a Friday night. Right. So kind of those unsung heroes, to be able to elevate their voices so that they feel seen, heard, and valued is another incredibly important thing. And kind of by osmosis, as we start to use more emotional intelligence in the way that not only we're dealing with our emotions, but also the emotions of others, that's modeling something for them that they can take away and implement in their own life, whether or not they're actually aware of it or not. I mean, some of the best techniques I've ever learned about mirroring and having conversations with other people, I learned in other environments, and it's like, oh, that's revolutionary. I can't believe it, even though it might feel a little weird at the beginning. But people appreciate the fact that you're actually mirroring back what they're saying, so that I want to make sure that I understand you completely. Is this what you're actually saying, or can you straighten me out? To your point, Scott, the simple things, saying hello, saying goodbye, asking about their family, how are your kids? Do you have everything you need for today? Do you have the tools? Do you have the information? Do you have the time to do it? And very often, you know, speaking only of myself, I probably didn't ask a lot of those questions earlier in my career because I didn't want to give a shit. I had enough on my plate, and the story I made up for myself was like, you know, everybody's got their own problems, including mine and theirs, and they're just going to have to figure out a way to do it. And I never really understood that it was my job, one, to make sure that they had the training, the tools, the time to actually succeed, because nobody wants to fail. Nobody wants to go to work and do a shitty job.
Yeah. And I think, you know, because of the way the market is at the minute and the talent market, I think we've kind of forgotten about how to hire right, and we just hire. Mm. And it's another way to cause turnover, just not hiring the right fit for you. And it's, I was working with a client the other day, and we're reopening the restaurant and we're going through a process of pre-opening now. We wrote pillars the other day, and our personalities and our behaviors. Mm. I always put them in the same, because for me, they're all the same. And we had this restaurant, and I think, if I remember right, they were charm, playful, sophisticated, and one of the. So we then had a conversation to go, okay, when we're doing social media, we need to make sure that it's playful but charming. There's a sophistication, etc. Mm. When we're hiring people, let's go out and find people who've got that cheeky element to them. They can be a little bit playful. They've got the charm with the guest, and they're not robots. Whereas if we were in a fine dining restaurant that was silver service and it was very kind of black tie and all the rest, we shouldn't be going out and finding someone who's eccentric. So yeah. I think, you know, always go back to what your brand values and brand pillars, brand behaviors are, and make sure that the person that's sat in front of you is the person who fits that, because just hiring someone isn't going to get over the problem. It might put the sticky plaster on, but when you both work out that you're not the same, ultimately it's going to end. It's natural, because you're not the right fit. So I think, you know, hiring right and going back to that says, you know, it might take me a bit longer, I might have to go understaffed a bit longer, but it's the right thing to do, helps. And I always used to say to people who work to me sometimes is, you know, don't have tough conversations with people, because it's better to know that you're in the mess. And that's the nice way I referred to it. It's better to know you're in the mess than to be put into the mess, because someone phones in sick or realizes that they don't want to come in because they're not in the right place. You can plan to be short-staffed. You can't plan to be short-staffed if someone does it with an hour's notice. So it's always better to have those difficult conversations or to make the difficult decisions, because it makes it more sustainable in the long run. Reduces turnover, increases retention, doesn't have bad apples in the team that can make things worse. So, you know, again, if we're talking about how to have great retention, how to have great attraction and hire the right people, that's going to solve some of the other problems as well. And then, yeah, don't overpromise.
That's really good insight.
No, very often it's the right person, but they're in the wrong job. So we have to have the guts to be able to say, all right, I'll be temporarily discomforted because it might mean I have to take this position over or shift things around, and now things are a little bit tighter than I want. But ultimately, doesn't that person walk away with a much greater sense of themselves and the organization and you as a leader? Because, you know, typically in that situation, what, you move them out, you make a change and still think like, no, they're really great with the guests, but they just happen to be wrong for this particular mechanic or this particular skill set. And yet they might do brilliantly at the host stand, right? Yeah, but for most of us, we never give them a chance because we're afraid of being, like I said, temporarily discomforted.
I used to have a HR director who used to say to me when we used to go in and have conversations around people, there's a superhero in everyone, but not all superheroes are the same. Sums it up well, right?
No doubt.
Well, and there's so much in this discussion, right? We may need to have you on a fourth time here. I mean, this is just, we could keep going about this stuff all day.
Yeah, for sure.
and so, the thing that I'm present to right now, Scott, is like it's been a while since you and I connected offline, and spending this time with you, I walk away with such an appreciation for your deep knowledge, empathy, the way you go about things, and I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I got to call you more often, man.
Well, from what I understand from my agent, the fourth time is a trip to do it face to face, right? So.
All right. Well, I guess I better start saving up for a ticket.
Well, three different countries are going to find a way to do that.
Right. So there's got to be some, like, well, maybe we have to do some meet in Gibraltar or someplace like
that. Exactly.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, Scott. It's just always so good to connect. And I agree with Adam. I mean, your insight and knowledge in the industry, and, you know, it's not just Adam that should call anymore. I think everybody should.
Yeah. Yeah. And so thank you very much, Scott. Thanks to everybody for showing up, having your voice heard or making your voice heard, and for taking the time to like, share, and follow the show. As always, my name is Adam Lamb with my co-host, Jim Taylor. Scott Turner of Auden Hospitality. Brother, such a great thing. Thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure. Thank you very much. Have a great day, everyone.
Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. Thanks for joining us on this episode of Turning the Table with me, Adam Lamb, and Jim Taylor. We're on a mission to change the food and beverage industry for the better by focusing on staff mental health, physical and emotional well-being, by proactively measuring and managing staff workloads. Join other hospitality professionals co-creating the hashtag New Hospitality Culture by subscribing to our weekly newsletter at www.turningthetablepodcast.com/news. In every edition, you'll find innovative solutions ready to test and validate in your operation this weekend. Plus, listen to exclusive bonus content just for you. Connect with us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram at Turning the Table Podcast. If you found value in this episode, please consider leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. Give us a star rating. It helps other hospitality professionals just like you find the show. Or better yet, grab the show link and share it with a friend or colleague who you want to see succeed. Thanks for stepping in and speaking out for an industry, craft, and fraternity that serves us all. Remember, retention is the new cool, y'all. This podcast was written, directed, and produced by me, Adam Lamb, and Jim Taylor. Turning the Table is a production of Realignment Media.